What's good, everyone? I got a cousin named Boo Boo. Pretty sure that's not who was translating, but you never know. Hey, thank you for being here this morning in this like brand new looking room. Like, how many of you walked in and you were like, whoa? Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And then to our campuses, I'm going to look at the camera here, right here. Is that where I am? Celine, Linden, Pontotoc, Grand Blanc. Love you. Hey, last weekend was awesome, wasn't it? Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. I got to be down in Celine and, you know, for that kind of launch, the weekend type of stuff. And it was really cool to just see, you know, neighbors kind of driving by and like, what is happening in this place? And then you'd see people come riding up in like bikes and, you know, those little, you know, that you pull the kid behind. Looks like the dog thing, but kids in them. And they would come and they'd bounce on the bounce house. Like, it was really awesome. And then we stopped by Linden for a second, just the next day for their Easter stuff. And then everybody here, and the hands that went up Sunday morning, like, can we just clap for that? Like, that's the miracle of all miracles right there. And so I think when you're thinking about that, like, what's the next logical step, right, for our salvation? Just a practical, easy step, and that's baptism. So, but before we're done, I'm going to tell you the story, two stories of the two times that I was baptized. I love baptism so much, I had it done twice. I don't know if you're supposed to do that, but it'll make sense. And for those of you who have been baptized, like, it's this sense of hope, right? Like, you're like, oh, this is exciting. And if you've had it done here, you know, you're over there and you get dunked in the feeding trough. You'll see next week. And you come up and everybody's clapping and there's excitement and you're like, oh man, this is amazing. I hope this is what my walk with Jesus is always like. So I grew up in a pretty, fundamental church, legalistic. And when I was 13, it was time to get baptized. And I had to write this paper, like a full-page paper, on why I had to be baptized. And I'm sure I bowled my way through, you know, whatever. I don't actually remember what I said, so, you know, for what it's worth. And, you know, they give you this paper, and it's all the, like, requirements and stuff like that. And in my church, you wore this, like, white robe when you were getting baptized. And so top of the list was make sure you wear something underneath the robe, which I wish I could say would be common sense, but it wasn't. And then the second one was if you do, like, when you wear something, don't wear white. So I saw a few things in my existence in that church that was like, oh, all right, so my time came. And I remember we had one of those baptismals that was like, you know, on top of the stage, and they took the floor out and you went down and the pastor was like in there, you know, doing his like Jesus thing. Is this the Jesus thing? I don't know, with the hands out. And so I went down and I got baptized. I don't remember nothing. You know, like, nothing changed. Nothing was different. And what I want to do for you this morning is what I wish would have been done for me. So I'm going to go over the what. What is baptism? And then the why. Why even do it? Like, this is something that Jesus did. And so we should at least explore what this is actually about. So baptism doesn't actually have its roots in the New Testament, right? Like, it happens a lot in the New Testament, but it's not something that found its origins in the New Testament. Its origins is in the Old Testament. And it's not even particularly Jewish. Like, it happened all different cultures in the Old Testament world. And so, you know, we look at this, the different times that you see like bathed, okay, so this person bathed and they came up, or this person cleansed themselves, like that's kind of baptism through all the Old Testament. And so there are themes with baptism, and then there are practices, okay? So thematically, the flood. So water is kind of used to cleanse and renew the entire earth. And whether you believe that the entire earth was flooded or just that region, it wasn't just about dirt being washed away. It was about mankind's need to be renewed and mankind's need to be cleansed. Okay, Joshua chapter 3, crossing the Jordan, and I've spent about 3 years with my small group going through the Old Testament. It's a long time. But you kind of see this sense, we don't know what it's like to not have home. The concept of home. In general, you all understand. You're going to leave here, you're going to go maybe eat somewhere, and then you're going to go where? Home. Because you understand the concept of having a home. But for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the people of Israel had no home. They were nomadic, traveling place to place to place, or they were in slavery under Egypt. And so a deliverer comes, one that frees them from 400 years of oppression. Then they go into this wilderness where an entire generation passes. And then they come to this moment at a river. And on the other side of that river is home. And so there's one last thing. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy kind of gives this this picture of what home is supposed to be like. These laws, these practices. I don't want you to live how you lived on this side of the river. I want you to live differently when you're home. And so the priests, they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. They go in, they kind of step into the water, the waters part, and it's one last symbolic cleansing of this people before they go home. So practice, Leviticus chapter 16, like you see time and time again, the ritualistic cleansing that priests will do before they offer a sacrifice. I need you to be clean if you are going to lead people into cleanliness. And then 2 Kings 5, this is really cool story of a man named Naaman who comes to a prophet and is asked to bathe, be baptized, be immersed in order for him to be healed of his disease. And so whether in theme or in practice, baptism is an action that expresses cleansing, renewal, and preparation. So when you choose, when you have chosen to do this action, what you're doing is you're expressing the experience of your heart. Because you get in there, and if you're like one of the last people to be baptized, I'm sorry. Because you know some stuff came off. Half of you were like, how do you unsign up for... There's dirt that's going to be removed in water. It's just the way it is. But what's happening is you are expressing outwardly what Christ has accomplished inwardly. And that's not just a New Testament concept. That's an Old Testament concept that was carried into the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18 to 22. For Christ also died for sins once for all. The just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison who once were disobedient. That's a whole other thing we'll get into. Well, we won't get into, but we can get into it. we'll keep going. When the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Key in on this. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. So what this is saying, this is proof. Listen, Noah and the ark, this wasn't just about the cleansing of dirt. It wasn't just about dirt being removed. It wasn't just about destruction happening. It was about a renewal. It is about an expressing what has happened in your heart on the outside for all to see. See, when you get baptized, there's a responsibility within your community at that point. You are saying to all of you what the Lord has done in here. That's a huge responsibility. It's a big deal. Baptism expresses that. Baptism for the believer is not about being cleansed. It's expressing through Christ that you already are. You already are. And baptism is this beautiful act where you get to show a community, where you get to show our Father, I am expressing what you have already accomplished in me. So why? Why do we do this? Because if the what, baptism is something that renews and cleanses and prepares, we have to ask the question, now why? Why do we do this? Why do we continue to do this? So what I want to do is I want to take kind of a side-by-side look at two accounts of Jesus's baptism. So Matthew and John give kind of a more detailed account, whereas Mark and Luke are like, he got baptized. So Matthew chapter 3, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered, saying to him, permit at this time, for it is the way, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, lighting on him, and behold, a voice out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So that's Matthew 3, okay? John chapter 1. These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where Jesus was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remain upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified, this is the Son of God. And so you see two different accounts here. One that's more of the story of it, and one that's more of a first person observation of this. The story of Jesus coming to John, coming to someone lesser than him, to say, baptize me. And John, baptizing in a baptism of repentance, looks at him and goes, what do you need to be cleansed of? You are God. What do you need to change? You are God incarnate. There's no reason for you to do this. And Jesus says to him, we need to do this so that everything will be revealed. And then you see John's account of this, which is like, I didn't know who he was. And then after the Spirit of God rested upon him, it was like, yo, he's him. This is probably close to what that area looked like at the time. It's a place called I'm going to jack it up. But it's in Jordan. And now it's this baptism site. You know, there's kind of stone. You can have stone, you know, not buildings, but just, you know, a patio type area. And you can actually be baptized by a priest in the place generally thought to be baptized, to be where Jesus was baptized. Which, I mean, that's cool and all, you know, but, you know, people love our sites, don't we? And so this picture here, I think, is what a lot of us think this was like. Crowds, right? Like on the, let me get out of the way here. Crowds, you know, looking, and they're all looking at this guy, Jesus, that's being baptized, the teacher, the one, right? I don't think it was like this at all. See, because nobody knew who, this is before miracles. This is before I will make you fishers of men. This is before any of this. So I don't think this was the picture that was happening, this holy moment where everybody looked at the Lamb of God being baptized. I think it was more like this. There's families that are playing. There's people fishing along the side. There's life that's actually just happening. And then I want you to put yourself in this scene. Maybe you're the family, maybe you're the person fishing. I don't know who you are. Whatever you enjoy doing, you're doing it along the banks of this river. And then you hear this crazy person shouting, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And your kids are like, what? And then you look and it's that crazy dude that wears camel hair. And the rumors are that he takes wild locusts and dips them into honey and eats them. What? And he's got this random dude in the river. And he's screaming this. He takes away the sin of the world. Like, oh, okay. Kids, go back to playing. Maybe you've got your rod fishing and you're like, all right. You know. And Jesus was baptized. And I don't know that it was this all-encompassing holy moment for the entire area, but it was this all-encompassing holy moment for the people involved. And we get the opportunity next week, if you so choose to do that, to have something that maybe even Jesus didn't have. An entire community being excited for the hope of what's next. An entire community of people excited for your life in Christ moving forward. How beautiful is that? Now, you may have no idea who the people are to your left and right. You probably don't. But the reality is we are Freedom Center Church. We are a church. We are a people committed to the Father and to each other. We should be. And so you get to have something that maybe not even our Lord had. People surrounding you that are excited for what's next for you. Man, that's beautiful. That's super cool. But I want to go back because it begs the question, why would Jesus, the Messiah, God incarnate, the sinless one, engage in an act of cleansing and renewal when he needed neither? He didn't need either one. What did he mean when he said, we have to do this so that righteousness would be fulfilled? You see, Jesus, when talking about the law, came and said, I fulfilled the law. The reason the law existed, I fulfilled. The reason the law was, I came so that you didn't have to do any of that stuff anymore. You didn't have to do this stuff to show yourself approved unto God. Jesus made that way. He took all of these laws, all of these different things, all of these expectations for your behavior, and he consolidated it into a way that through him, you now have reconciliation with the Father. And so if he did that with the law, why not just do away with this? What's the point? The point is, because it's what the Father wanted his people to do. For thousands of years, the expression outside of what happened inside is so important to the Father. I'm so glad that your heart was renewed. Show me how. Oh, I have this faith that I keep to myself. Where is that ever in Scripture? Ever. It doesn't exist. Your faith begs to be acted upon, begs to be lived out. As a matter of fact, I'd venture to say that if you feel incomplete within your faith, it's because you're not doing anything with it. How you like my purple shirt now? You weren't meant to just be. And being is beautiful and being is precious, and I'm so glad that you exist. But your life within the kingdom is meant to have action, is meant to express what has happened in here. And so baptism being the key next step, foundational, super simple. If Jesus has changed your heart, show it. Show it. It's the next step. It's the easy step. What God has accomplished inside of me, express to people. And Jesus was no different. The Father didn't want anything different from this. I am preparing you for what is next. Go show it. Go do it. Do what I tell you to do. We love him by obeying him. If you love me, you will obey me. How are you and I any different? We're not. We're not different. And yet, now, I'm not trying to guilt anyone. Please understand that. Man, maybe a little. Like, just like that much. Guilt is the wrong word. Challenge. There you go. That's a good word for it. But challenge you that if you have walked this faith, right? Like if you have this faith, it needs to be shown. And baptism is like, it's the simplest, easiest way to express within a community within people that love you and want to see your life in Christ thrive, it's the simplest way to show it. It's the easiest way to show it. And as easy as it is, please understand, this is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to watch someone do it, and it's a big deal to celebrate them doing it. Big deal. Acts chapter 2, 41, 8, 12, 10, 47 to 48, 16, 14 and 15, 19, 5. A few scriptures. So, you know, Acts is the story continues, right? The story continues. Christ did his work. Now what? And there's so many instances in scripture after that where they repented, they saw Christ, and they went and they were baptized. Why? To show it. To just foundationally show it. Are you serious? Yes. Did he do this work in you? Yes. Show it. What do you mean, Baptism could have been fulfilled. It could have been. The law was, but it wasn't. It was the act of the grace of God being shown in a person's life. If the grace of God has been shown in your life, show it. Show it to others. Take that step. And even after the baptism, wow. Drop this bathroom. Welcome to first service. Even after that, you have a life to live before Christ. So go and do likewise. Go and do as he did. Stand to your feet. So the second time I got baptized, thought I forgot, didn't you? I worked at this camp for many, many years. And the guy that was like the head male counselor was like, I really feel like I want to do a baptism service in the lake. And you know, like sometimes, you know, I actually, it's funny, growing up in the church, I didn't actually get saved until I was in college. But you hang your hat on these experiences, right? And sometimes when the Spirit of God is speaking to you, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you're like, I already did that. I already am that. And any time I had felt that like push or obedience to walk in baptism, it was like, I already got baptized despite not actually being a believer when I was, but whatever. And so he said that, and just something inside of me was like, oh, it's time. What do you mean it's time? We've already done this. And so a bunch of people gathered down at the lakefront. And I'm like, all right, let's go. I'm in. We're going to do this. And I got baptized. Now, I don't have visions often. But when I was under, everything was black. And there was this small ball of flame that was there. And then I came up, like, eyes open, gone. That was weird. It's weird, right? It's a weird thing to see. So days go by, and I'm asking the Lord, what does this mean? Like, I'm mopping floors. What does this mean? Like, audibly, out loud, where if anybody was walking by, they'd have been like, you okay? It was driving me nuts. And I was doing some kind of cleaning, whatever, by myself. What does this mean? And here's what the Lord said to me. I've lit a flame in you. And it's your job whether that flame grows or stays exactly the level that it's at. And here's the thing. That's not unique to me. That's the message to you with everything that God has. He is the only one capable of birthing this inside of you. But it is absolutely your job, my job, whether I put myself in a position for that to be cultivated and to grow or for it to stay exactly where it is. And so many of us feel stagnant in a faith that was meant to be vibrant and grown and shown because we don't do anything. You don't tell anyone about him. I keep secret sins. You don't do, I don't do, we don't. And the doing isn't proof of salvation, but the doing flows from it. And next week, what we're asking is the simplest way to show it. The simplest way. Your faith was literally designed to be shown. Who you are in Christ was literally designed to be acted upon. And when you don't show it, it doesn't operate the way it's supposed to. So yeah, you're gonna feel uncomfortable. Yeah, you're gonna feel like something's not right. Yeah, you're gonna feel like this faith stuff just doesn't make any sense to me, or I'm in this constant, because you're literally denying who you are in Christ. Man, God loves you guys so much. And I'll go a step further than that. God doesn't just love you, he likes you. And I know that sounds weird, right? But like, you're not just a number in the crowd. Like, he likes who you are. He likes the type of person that you are. Of course, there's things to change. I'm not talking about that. But he likes you. He loves you. We express that love back, and we express that love to the people around us. So next week, if you want to get baptized, on the links page, you can get signed up. But you know, more than just signing up for something, like really just take this week and think and pray about what it means to show and live the faith that you and I claim to have. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. I'm not sure where any of us would be without it, even if we don't know that it's existing in our lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it shows us who you are and what you love and what you don't love. Thank you for this community of people. I don't know how we would do any of this without each other. And so, Lord, I pray for the people. Man, I hope this isn't just like a good talk to hear. I pray in the name of Jesus that there would be challenges directly into our hearts to live and to show the you that each of us claim to have. And if there are any in here that don't have that, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would see your goodness and your love for them. That you didn't just come and live and die and live again for them to be a good person. You did it so that they would be an alive person, reconciled to you. Thank you for the work that you accomplished on the cross. And I pray for those of us that have that work and have embraced that work as truth, that we would walk outside the four walls of this very comfortable building into a world that needs to see it, and we'd show it. And it's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Have a great rest of your morning. Love somebody well.